Hi, I'm Stephen John Drew from Better Podcasting, a proud member of the Gunna Geek Network, just like the show you're listening to now. The opinions expressed are those of the individual hosts. Check out all the other geeky podcasts at GunnaGeekNetwork.com and get ready because geekiness begins in 3, 2, 1.
You are listening to the Starling Tribune, a podcast dedicated to the Arrow TV show.
This guy gets more airtime than the Kardashians, right?
This podcast is not produced or maintained by the CW, Warner Brothers Television, CTV, or DC Comics. All characters, situations, and stories are the properties of Time Warner. I am the Oracle, and this is your Tribune.
Welcome back to the Starling Tribune, broadcasting from our now-outed secret newsroom on Earth 2. Gee, thank you, Laurel Lance, for giving that tidbit up. I am Stargate Pioneer, your chief editor. My friends, they call me SP, and your reporters for this episode 10 of season 5 of the Starling Tribune are Chris.
Don't move, Trinity.
I love that line. And Neil.
She actually has an evil twin?
Everybody has an evil twin, especially us with facial hair. By the way, this podcast is recorded on Thursday, January 26th, 2017, live on Geeks.live. We are three guys this week, which we're just going to call ourselves comic book enthusiasts. Right, Chris?
Yes, I like comics when I have time to read them, which I haven't lately. Oops.
I know, me too. I've got so many comics I gotta get it through. Ugh. And Neil.
My pull list actually just keeps growing, which is not what it's supposed to do. It's supposed to shrink. You're supposed to read things and drop things, and I just keep adding to it.
I know. I went to the comic book store yesterday. Wednesday was the day everything dropped, and I got my pull list, and then I made the mistake of walking by the stacks. I'm like, ooh, I don't have that one. Ooh, I don't have that one. Ooh, I don't have that one. And the bill just kept on growing and growing and growing. So got to get that under control. By the way, we do have a fourth co-host. Her name is Michelle, fourth reporter on this podcast. She is away on assignment this week. She will be back next week. And I will say on behalf of all three of us, Michelle, we miss you and we want you back. Right, Neil and Chris?
Totally.
Indeed.
Tonight, we'll be discussing this week's episode of Arrow, as well as news, interviews, articles, and announcements that have dropped in the last week since our last episode that could impact future episodes of Arrow, as well as The Flash, Supergirl, Legends of Tomorrow, Vixen, and Constantine. Yes, I did say Constantine.
And just a friendly reminder, the wild speculations we throw out will probably include a lot of information the showrunners and actors have shared in a variety of interviews or stories been published already. And we're also throwing out some wild speculation that might just accidentally be right on occasion. So please consider yourself warned of spoilers.
Yeah, and speaking of spoilers, guys, sometimes we geek out and talk about this week's DC Comics. So there could be a comic book spoiler, but we promise we'll always try our best not to ruin anything for you.
Try our best. But if you're new to the show, thank you for searching us out and finding us out in the world wide web and watching us live potentially as we record this. If you like our content, please feel free to swing by our podcast network home over at GunnaGeek.com, where you can find all of our past shows, the entire back catalog, as well as a ton of other geeky videos, podcasts, and articles, which are all under the Gunna Geek Productions banner.
Thanks, guys, for running all that admin stuff down for us. But now it's time to get into the episode. So, Neil, go ahead and break it down for us.
Thanks, SP. So this episode, season 5, episode 10, titled, Who Are You?
Fair use. Fair use.
Well played, sir.
The air date was Wednesday, January 25th, 2017, directed by Gregory Smith, who's probably a familiar name. He's well known to the people in the Arrowverse. He's directed 5 episodes of Arrow, 1 of The Flash, and 3 of Legends of Tomorrow. The writers were Ben Sokolowski, who's done 18 episodes of Arrow and 2 of The Flash, and Brian Ford Sullivan, who's written 10 episodes of Arrow and 7 of Vixen.
And I just want to point out, I was paying attention to the credits as I was watching the episode on the treadmill, and guess whose name I saw as one of the executive producers or whatever he wants to be called. Guess what, Neil? Guess who?
I know it.
Chris, who was it?
Speed weed.
Yes.
Really? Oh, nice.
Exactly. I think he's one of the, you know, production executive producers throughout the whole season this year. So his name keeps on popping up episode after episode. So yes, I have paid attention during the credits, which is new for me to actually do that, because normally I'm just focused on the episode. Which, talking about the episode and the great production team in it, Who Are You? It did great in the ratings, right? I guess great for CW, because its live ratings were 1.68. Ooh, just squeaking out underneath that 2.0. Hey, guess what? It is CW. You don't need a 5. You don't need a 12. You just need to get around a 2. And I guess you can kind of give them a pass. I think maybe it was already renewed, so I don't think we're worrying about cancellation. But oh, hey, what did the other shows do this week? Supergirl got a 2.64. These are all live ratings, by the way. Flash won the week with the DC shows at 2.68. And Legends, that same night on Tuesday night, had 1.79. So their arrow kind of lost.
That's kind of interesting, because the show I'm enjoying the least got the highest ratings right now.
Flash, really?
Yeah, I haven't watched this week's Flash yet, to be fair, but I was kind of getting a little meh on it, and I've watched all the other DC shows this week, but haven't gotten to the Flash yet.
The news story that I found it from, I think it was TV by the Numbers, did state that it was indeed down. It was down the most out of any of these shows from, I think it was the same episode last year. So the Flash ratings are definitely down from what they were at one point in time. And oh, by the way, just for comparison's sake, just throwing it in there, since I do a podcast on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. called Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. over on the GunnaGeek.com network, its live ratings this week in its Tuesday night 10 p.m. slot was 2.02. So it seems like they're in trouble because they're on ABC. But these shows, I think, are all good. They're all great for now. These numbers will all go up, by the way, because all these networks now do the live plus 7 ratings. We don't count the live plus 7 ratings on the week because we don't know them. But next week, we will have seen the ratings increase by this time next week. All right, we're going to talk about the episode specifically. And we start by going through the overall theme for the episode and link to the episode name. Neil, you were the one that started us off in this path, so tell us all about it.
Well, you can take this question of what was the theme and how's it tied to the title literally, or dig a bit deeper. And literally, it's actually a line in this episode as they're trying to figure out who this reincarnated, resurrected Laura Lance is. And she gives an explanation, but it's, you're asking yourself this question, at least if you hadn't seen the promos. Who are you? How is this Laurel? If you've been watching Legends, you know they haven't brought her back. And sure enough, that mystery doesn't last the entire episode. But what's more important is if you think beyond just who is Laurel Lance, it's who are you? Who is the character? And who is Felicity and what's her role? And she's beaten things up and she's kind of the badass on the team now. More importantly, who is Curtis? You know, he's on the verge of giving up and he has to kind of dig deep and figure out what makes him a hero. And at the very end of the episode, who is the lady in Hub City and does she have a canary cry?
Caw, caw, caw. That's not really a canary cry, is it?
No, don't think that's a canary, buddy. No.
We can say that it is, and I'm happy to extract that out and make it a bump on the soundboard for this show so that anytime we talk about the canary, we can just start with that bump.
How about this? Would this work?
Yes, I find that acceptable.
Okay. Fair enough. Thank you very much, Sean, from Voices of Defiance for that Sean scream. All right, let's move into the fights. Chris, break them down for us, please.
Hey, evidently Team Arrow is far less equipped to deal with canary cries than Team Flash was, because they get their butts handed to them by her multiple times until Curtis can jury-rig up a gadget at the end of the day.
They do, although I will have to say that Felicity enabled her escape, so, you know, she was controlled, and then anything that happened after that was on Felicity.
To an extent. I mean, I don't think she expected quite that much damage when she was going to let her get out.
And if you think back to The Flash last year, I mean, she brought down buildings. She was leveling parts of Central City. I mean, that could have gone very, very, very poorly for everybody. So that was a big risk. I wasn't quite on board with that.
She's holding back because there's a piece of her that still cares about these people, right? Maybe?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's it.
I mean, when do any of these people from Earth 2 care about anybody from Earth 1? No, nobody. None of them. None of the Metas, at least. They're all taking down everybody on Earth 1.
Well, no, she's kind of conflicted about Oliver, remember? Because she was supposed to marry the Oliver of Earth 1 or whatever, and he's been gone for 10 years at this point in time. So she does have a soft spot for our Oliver.
Maybe, but she's been locked up. And oh, by the way, let's get back to this. You know, this is generally not a podcast on The Flash, but she was locked up and then was gone for 3 days before they noticed she was gone. How do they feed her? How does she go to the bathroom? These are things that have to happen every day. And usually in a prison, you talk to your prisoners or see them every day. She was gone for 3 days before she knew it was out. I mean, there's this whole thing about their doorman being Gunther and him not knowing, but somebody's got to feed these people. But what's up with that?
It was supposed to be HR doing it, and he forgot.
For 3 days?
Yeah, he's a little absent-minded.
Oh, that's not so good, guys. Yeah. And you'd think they'd, if they actually saw the video of a guy with a bow freeing her, and I don't know how he knew to get down there, but you figured they're like, hey, a guy with a bow who's been killing people in Star City just freed our Meta. Maybe we should call team. Nah, what's the worst that could happen?
We'll deal with her after we deal with Savitar and who's the other guy that they were? Oh,
is it Rampage this week or something?
Somebody broke out of prison that they had to bring back into prison and Kid Flash had to capture him. Who was that? Help me out.
I haven't watched it yet, so I can't help you.
It's a guy with a cool gun.
Yeah. And a motorcycle. Lots of motorcycle stunts this week on the CW.
Snart's back?
No.
He has a gun and a cool motorcycle.
There were some good fights, though. Listen, I think the award-winning fight of this one was Felicity with her line, "Hey, Pumpkin," decking Black Siren and putting an end to that issue.
And then needing ice.
She obviously did not keep her wrist straight. She jammed that sucker. But yeah, "Hey, Pumpkin." That was cool. That was great. She got her comeuppance and she was a little bit of a wild card. She was looking out for Oliver. She took control of the team behind Oliver's back and then was admitting it afterwards. So that's good that she at least came out about it. But her sneaky, let's have a party. And everybody was like, why are we having this party? I don't understand it. Why did they have to have a party for the whole glass thing? I mean, later on, she sneaks the nanobots in there and just hands it to her in prison. She could have just done it in the cave. Why did she have to have a party to get her DNA? That was just a little bit too much.
Because we didn't get a Christmas party this year, did we?
Yeah, we did.
Did we?
Yeah, it was the mayor's Christmas party.
Oh, that's right. Because the queens always have to throw parties. I mean, I think that Felicity was just kind of buying into that whole the queens throw parties thing.
That was more put fake Laurel at ease, too, I think. At first, I was like, what the hell are they doing? This makes no sense. And then Felicity gave her a line. I was like, okay, I sort of get it. And then as I digested the episode later, I was like, okay, maybe it's also partially to put fake Laurel at ease to think nothing's amiss. We're just excited Laurel's back. We're going to celebrate with a bunch of people she didn't know.
Wait a minute. Are you digesting the episode the same way that Laurel digested the nanobox that tracked her?
No, I'm digesting the episode the same way the maggots digested her dead body.
Oh,
wow.
Wow, that's low. You got to admit, though, she is acting very well. She likes this new character. I think that character fits within this show as kind of a baddie, maybe goodie, maybe a replacement a little bit for the Huntress, although we all want the Huntress back. But I think that vibe is good to have on the show. So the fight between Prometheus and Oliver, that was as good as they come.
I wanted more of it.
Just short and sweet. That's the best way of looking at it. And just like Neil said, I wanted more too. And I was like, I guess it's a teaser for more coming later. And I swear, guys, I still think it's Michael Dorn who's the voice of Prometheus. Every time I hear him now, I'm like, I think that's Michael Dorn. And I can't find a credit anywhere.
Okay, let's go to the end of the show notes. This is where Michelle has put her "Who is this guy?" in the show notes, right? Who's Prometheus? So he knows about the following. He knows about Oliver's past and that he is the Arrow. He knows how to fight like Oliver. He has a tolerance to the Valium, the Dizapram, that Oliver shot into him. He knew that Oliver killed people from the list and how he did it. He knew where and how to get Ollie's old arrows to make his own. He knows about Team Flash, and he knew how to get into Star Labs. He knew that Black Siren was at Star Labs. He knew how to break into Star Labs. He knows about the whole Legends of Tomorrow, because that's the story that Laura had to tell. I got a great idea, guys. It's Batman, and Oliver killed Bruce's parents.
I was hanging on every word there for a sec, SP, right up until the end.
Yeah, I got to admit that last one was mine. It wasn't Michelle at all. But yeah, he knows a lot about it. You know, could it be Oliver's dad? You know, could it be the Green Arrow from Earth 2?
That'd be interesting. But what's the Green Arrow from Earth 2 motivation to come in and try and wreak vengeance on Oliver?
I don't know. I think Michael Dorn would be cool.
I just think he's the voiceover guy for Prometheus. I don't think that's who's going to be underneath the mask.
I also, for a second, thought, and we've gone down this path before, that it could be his old pal from season one and season two, Deadshot.
Did you just cross the streams, SP?
I did. Ah, the orange and blue guy.
Deathstroke.
I thought it might even be Deathstroke, but we know for a fact that that actor is on the outs.
Yeah. I was thinking an Earth 2 Roy Harper. That would be cool. With like the ultimate grudge. I hate all Ollies.
I think it's going to end up being someone from the Russia arc of some kind. That's what I'm starting to lean towards.
Yeah, especially what was his name that was down in the cellar that was torturing him?
I'm bad with all of the Russian characters' names. I will be honest, so I have no idea.
Yeah, I can't remember him off the top of my head. You know, Michelle is screaming listening to this right now.
Steven's in the chat room and says a talk man.
Yeah, sure. Why not?
He didn't used to be a barista.
Oh, I knew that was coming. We're trying to go one episode without a barista reference, Chris.
I didn't make a barista reference in the last episode.
Yeah, but every episode is that one episode. So another individual that wasn't in this episode, just like the barista wasn't, was Thea, because she was just conveniently out of town.
I kind of missed her in this episode.
Yeah, wasn't she just in town for the mid-season finale? How much time has passed? I mean, it's been like a night since the last episode, basically.
I don't know how much time has passed. I mean, it's not Christmas anymore. There's no Christmas decorations that they're taking down.
I mean, but that's true. But remember, the finale ended with Oliver walking downstairs after having his night with the reporter lady and spilling his heart. And there's Laurel. I mean, I don't think we had a time jump between saying, you're alive, and fast forward a week and we're going to have a party with everyone wearing the same clothes.
Chris, you are absolutely correct. And I will say that Thea did a great job organizing the holiday cleanup from Star City before she, that's why she's out of town, because she's speaking at a conference on how to move your town from holiday to holiday very quickly. That's what's going on.
I'll buy that.
For a dollar?
No, 50 cents because of conversion.
Yeah. Canadian dollars. And it's not worth even a buck. Yeah.
It's okay. That's about to change. Canadian dollar's going to go up. I got faith in you guys. You got Timbits and things like that.
And maple syrup. Best maple syrup.
You
got Timbits here in the United States. There's a Tim Hortons in the Mall of America. I'm going to keep bringing that up until I'm blue in the face.
Hey, let's talk about the flashback guys. We talked about not knowing the Bratva guy's name. But, yeah, he's just sitting there taking a beating this episode. That seems like his flashback job this week is to get the snot beat out of him.
And to force more Laurel talk into the conversation, because we weren't getting enough of it already in the main story.
Well, that great line that he gets to use later, that circumstance will make a thing poison or nectar, he does get to bring that back. So, yeah, we finally see where that came from. I'm going to jump right to the ending of the flashback, though. Talia al Ghul. Oh, yeah.
I know. You know, I miss Katrina Law. I really do. She played Nyssa on the show. And I'm excited to have this new Al Ghul character, Talia. It is awesome. And apparently she knows Oliver. I don't know how that happened. Or maybe she was just looking for. I don't know. What's going on here?
I don't think we're going to find out much of that until next week. And there's been some interviews I saw circulate around talking to the creative staff about just how they're going to straddle that line of Talia knowing Oliver, Oliver knowing Talia, but him not knowing about the League. So it's going to be very interesting.
I'm wondering how they're going to deal with it later, because in the current timeline, in the prior seasons, we saw Nyssa at Raisha's side. And that's a role that normally that you would see Talia take on and not Nyssa. So I'm wondering what happened to her to kind of change that from DC comic continuity.
She could have split off on her own for some reason we've yet to see. I mean, remember we had the whole Leviathan thing going on in the Batman books in recent memory. Maybe she's gone off on her own similar to that.
Oh, here's a wild speculation. Speaking of things that we'll just throw out there. So in the current timeline, the League is scattered. You know, the remnants of the people that were following Nyssa, the remnants of the people that were following Malcolm Merlyn, they need somebody to reunite the League in the current timeline. That can be Talia.
I like it.
That's right. Yeah. She's going to have to find that ring though, right?
Don't need no stinking ring.
She doesn't need it. She's now Ghoul. She can choose her name.
Yeah.
I'm the true heir of Ra's al Ghul. I'm his first daughter or something like that. We'll see what happens.
Oh, yeah.
Like SP, I also miss Katrina Law on the show, and she is coming to one of the local cons, so I'm considering going up there.
Oh, nice.
Get a picture and stuff, and maybe see if I can get a bump recorded for the show. We'll see how lucky I can get.
Was the Bratva guy named Vincent? Is that who that is?
Yeah, maybe. I don't remember. Yeah,
I think so. I'm thinking so. Anyway. Moving on, since we all suck.
It's okay, Pumpkin.
Waiting for the mic to hit me here.
I don't have telekinesis to swing your mic into your face. I'm sorry.
Let's talk about Diggle. He's in prison, and he's in trouble.
We talked about fight scenes, SP, and we forgot to mention one of the best punches of the show, Diggle striking the DA. That was kind of brilliant. I enjoyed that. I endorse punching the DA.
That always works, especially since, I mean, there's something about him. I know he's like a good guy, and I know he's like the vigilante and stuff, but there's just, if you don't know that and you meet him, there's just something about him that screams, he's a lawyer and I don't like him. So yeah, who has not wanted to punch their lawyer in the face or the lawyer that you're going against? It doesn't matter. It's a lawyer. Who hasn't wanted to do that? I mean, and he's like, all right, well, I'll do it. And Diggle knows why he's doing it, but he gets the satisfaction of actually getting to hit his lawyer. I think that's a good thing.
Well, it worked. I got to give it to him for that. He figured out what was going on, and all props to the DA for getting him out of there. I think that just saved Diggle's life because, yeah, he wasn't going to survive the prisoner transfer.
No, probably not.
No, but the DA is going to get the president's autograph.
Yay, Linda Carter.
Sure, we'll say that, yeah.
Linda Carter, this is Earth 1. That was Earth 31's president.
Oh, yeah, that's right. He did say, I'm a big fan of hers, though, in reference to the president.
He did, but remember, it's not the same Earth. Thank you very much, CWDC.
But some things happen similar across Earths, though. So it could be. Until they tell me otherwise, my headcanon is that Linda Carter is the president of Earth 1.
That's fair enough, but just so you know, the dichotomy between Earth 1 and Earth 2, there's a lot of bad people between. I guess she's not entirely good in Earth 31 either, is she? We don't know, but we know she's hiding something.
We think she's an alien.
That is TBD.
Well, she's not human. She's not normal human, put it that way. All right, so Diggle gets saved by the DA, who's now a defense attorney. That's interesting. Felicity's finally working out. It's nice to see her actually. I think the last workout scene that we had with Felicity, she was struggling to do a sit-up in her apartment back in season 1 or 2. Now she's got the gloves on. She's going after the dummy. And you knew that was foreshadowing something to happen. But she might be more useful in the field than Curtis.
Yeah.
Yeah. Chris, why don't you take this and I'll lean in after that.
I'm just really glad he got a moment to sort of shine because he's literally just gotten his butt kicked all year. And it kind of gets pointed out a little bit by Wild Dog. And Curtis at least gets to use his brain and come up with a gadget. And he gets knocked on his butt before he gets to use it, which seems to be par for the course lately. But he had a moment, at least, where he wasn't getting beat on, so I was glad to have that.
Yeah, I mean, Mr. Terrific, he's got the T-spheres, and my question was, how long are we going to get Curtis without the T-spheres? Because you're right, it hurts to see him get wailed on every episode. So I'm just like, all right, when he used the tech to figure out how to cancel out Black Siren's cry, I was like, there you go, you're using your brain. And even Wild Dog echoes that at the end, that, you know what, you got to start using that big brain of yours. So hopefully T-spheres, two episodes, calling it.
It's good. We got close a couple years ago. I'm looking forward to them coming off here. We didn't see Artemis, right? She wasn't in that bar. That wasn't her, right?
Nope.
Yeah, so
she's off somewhere. I assume she'll return at some point in time to be a pain to Team Arrow.
Maybe she's at the same conference as Thea, talking about how to portray your team once they've done the amazing job of cleaning up the city.
Maybe she's just the next person to jump to Legends of Tomorrow. I know Steven in our chat room loves the fact that all the past villains from Arrow are showing up on Legends of Tomorrow.
That's his favorite thing.
It really is.
He really enjoys that. Mm-hmm. You know, Ragman came up with an interesting tidbit. The fact that he can't sleep because the rags. I didn't know that. Did you guys know that?
No.
I don't think we've ever seen that.
We haven't. So basically, what we're talking about is anybody that can need to get away with less sleep, maybe they should have the rags too.
Ooh, I don't think he's going to give them away. I think, you know, they're a family heirloom. I don't think he's going to loan them out.
Oh, bummer.
Especially if you need to pull an all-nighter.
I know, because most podcasters need rags like that. And they need to pull all-nighters. Anyway, another character that we don't see this week is Susan Williams. What do you think she's doing, Chris?
She was on Suits this week, so she was busy.
I see. And of course, they film the same week that they air, right?
Of course. Well, they do film in the same city, I'm pretty sure. But no, I'm sure she was off reporting on something or digging up more dirt on Oliver's Russian ties.
I don't remember watching him wear a tie in Russia, Chris. I don't get... Oh, not that kind of... Those Russian ties.
I see what you did there. I see.
I was watching The Flash this week, and I remember there was a certain alley chase scene that reminded me very much of that same alley in Arrow Season 1. So, at least we know that the alleys of Central City and Star City are very similar.
Yeah, we've got that going for us, I guess.
All right. You guys got anything else in the episode that we haven't touched on, Neil?
No, that's about it for me.
Chris?
I still have no clue who Prometheus is. I am very intrigued, and I can't wait for the next breadcrumb, because I think the breadcrumbs they've given us are misdirects.
Yeah. Now, Neil, did you like the episode? Did you enjoy it? Was it a good mid-season premiere?
I liked the Black Siren, and the question, I thought we were moving towards a redemption arc. I actually thought we might get more Laurel going forward. I wasn't incredibly happy with the fact that she got shipped off to Argus, but it wasn't bad. As much as I love Curtis and I love Mad Dog and Ragman, I'm anxious just to drop back to the core team of Team Arrow. And I think they need to regain a bit of focus. That's where I'm leaning with. I really like this episode. And I really like Black Siren. I think Laurel is Black Siren. You guys nailed it. This is where she shines. But I want it to be tighter. That's what I'm hoping for in the next couple of episodes.
Chris, did you like it?
It was all right. I mean, I did enjoy Black Siren because that character's supposed to be evil and isn't saddled with the baggage that the Laurel from Earth 1 had had that kind of caused me to dislike her. So I'm curious to see where they go with it next. And not trolling Steven at all when I say this, I imagine she's probably going to show up on Legends at some point in time, because remember, she has a contract signed for the Flaro universe, not one specific show. So I would not be surprised to see her show up on Legends, so you get that interesting dynamic of Sarah being confronted by her sister from Earth 2.
So Steven J is in the chat, and he says, I have to say, I really like the Black Siren character. It's much better than Laurel. I'm actually okay seeing Katie Cassidy back in that capacity. I'll have to agree with you. I did enjoy seeing her, although I thought the way she was playing the character at the end of her stint as the Earth One Laurel was okay as well. But I'm kind of sad and sorry that the statue is gone. I think we'll hear from Michelle next week on how she feels about that statue and it being gone. But I'm looking forward to the search for the next Black Canary as well. And I echo the sentiments. Why the heck is Laurel going into Argus other than the fact that they're keeping her close hold to use an arrow versus the other shows?
Well, and Star City spared no expense in creating that Black Canary statue that's hollow.
Cast iron, cast brass, whatever.
It sure looked plastery to me.
It actually, you know, what it looked like to me is one of those chocolate Easter things. That's what it looked like to me.
Yeah. It was an Easter bunny rabbit version of the Black Canary.
But it was chocolate that had been sitting out in the Vancouver winter.
Chocolate.
Neil, what do we got going on for next week?
Next week, we've got Season 5, Episode 11, titled Second Chances. It'll be airing on Wednesday, February 1st, 2017. In his quest to take down Kovar, Oliver gets help from a surprising source, Talia Al Ghul. However, when she reveals that she wants from him in exchange, Oliver isn't sure he can accept her help. Felicity attempts to hack the NSA to help free Diggle, but when her online efforts are flagged, she faces off against an unknown adversary. Meanwhile, Curtis tells the team about a female vigilante, Tina Boland, he uncovered online who has been wreaking havoc all over the country. Director is going to be Mark Bunting with writers Sarah Tarkoff and Speed Weed.
Speed Weed! That's going to be awesome. All right. Do we want to go over Easter eggs this week? Did anybody catch any?
Hub City, we mentioned in the pre-show, that's a city that exists throughout the comic books and gets referenced in the Teen Titans cartoon. And of course, Talia al Ghul, daughter of Ra's al Ghul.
A reference to how the Lances keep dying and coming back from the dead. It's been happening.
Yeah. Just a little bit. All right. Now, let's get on to the news. And starting off from the Metro Desk here at Star City, we're going to be talking about Russia and Arrow.
That's right, SPWR. This is kind of an interesting story because it didn't confirm something I was afraid would happen. In a February 8th episode of Arrow, we're going to see Oliver and Felicity head back to Russia to meet with Anatoly. So Anatoly isn't going to die in the past, which I was afraid was going to happen. So we've got that connection going for us. Queen has frequently used his Bratva connections to acquire information otherwise unavailable. There's a good chance this episode titled Bratva will delve into those mafia connections. Bratva is also going to address Quentin Lance's drug addiction and subsequent stint in rehab. Having just returned from rehab, he must come to terms with his past when Susan Williams requests an interview regarding his drug habits. And then, of course, Renee must step in to make sure things stay back on track. So, seems like there could be a lot of people that have a role in this upcoming episode of Arrow.
Wow. So Oliver goes back to Russia and Susan Williams is not involved.
Dun, dun, dun.
Well, we did in the flashback get a little bit of Talia, and I'm really worried. Is she just going to be like Katrina Law? Is she going to be Nyssa?
Well, Mark Guggenheim's here to make you feel a little bit better about that. In an interview, he said, she's definitely her own person. She's not a Nyssa clone by any stretch. You can definitely sense a familial resemblance. Having Ra's al Ghul as your dad, it's likely to forge a very specific kind of person. They're close enough and different enough that I would love at some point to do a story with Nyssa and Talia. We'll also be dealing very directly with the fairly obvious question, which is, wait a second. When Oliver met Ra's al Ghul, why didn't he say, wait a minute, I think I met your daughter back in Russia? Guggenheim also added Talia will arrive in Second Chances, the Arrow episode airing February 1st, though it seems she'll only appear in the flashbacks in that particular episode. So it doesn't look like she's coming to the present day yet.
Well, big thanks to Mark Guggenheim for smoothing that concern over. And I think we talked about it before, but another concern I had was about Mr. Terrific and how he's getting his butt kicked all the time. And everything, and I'm just, it's really worrying me, Neil.
Well, have no worry, because Mark Guggenheim did an interview with comicbook.com, and he actually confirmed that if you've been watching the first 9 episodes, Curtis does have a tendency to get his ass kicked as we kind of promised. But as far as Mark Guggenheim is concerned, turning Curtis Holt into a superhero is probably the biggest turn that they've ever done on the show, even more so than turning Laurel into the kickboxing Black Canary. To his way of thinking, the only way you really earn it is if you show how difficult it is, and that means that Curtis ends up getting his ass kicked quite a bit. He goes on to say that in episode 10, the mid-season premiere, he kind of hits bottom, as we saw in this episode, as far as his self-esteem is concerned, especially in light of the ultimatum that Paul gave him. Starting with this episode, so episode 10, it's his turn. And I think really to turn more towards Mr. Terrific that we know from the comics. So as I said, we are going to get T-Spheres, baby.
Nice. Mark Guggenheim to the rescue to me twice this week. Thank you very much, Mark. I know you got a lot on your plate, but thank you for taking your time in advance to me even asking the question to answering my questions. I really like that a lot. Now, moving over into the rest of the DC TV shows, we talked about Supergirl hitting it off on Monday this week. And what's in store for the future? We got more aliens? I mean, we did this whole Stargate thing this week. There's got to be more aliens in Supergirl. That's all Supergirl is. Aliens, right?
It feels like it. And you're right, Espy. That was a great Stargate episode kicking off the mid-season on Supergirl this week. And as you know, we've been focusing on both our white and our green Martians with Ms. Martian, Megan Moores, coming out as a white Martian earlier this season. So we're going to get more white Martians. So try as she might, McGann can't outrun her past. And according for a new synopsis for the Martian Chronicles, the Supergirl episode that's going to air on February 6th, the white Martians are coming back. They're going to track her down as a traitor to Mars. However, they're going to have to go through dun-dun-dun, Supergirl and Martian Manhunter. And unlike her peers, McGann showed remorse over the actions that happened on Mars. So I think it's going to be great to see Martian Manhunter John Jones defend her, because you know how much he hates white Martians. So this is going to be pretty cool.
Looking forward to it. I know a lot of people are in hemming and hawing on Supergirl, but I have been enjoying it. It's just a popcorn show that I watch on Monday nights after I record the GunnaGeek.com show. That's great. However, what we've been talking about for months about Supergirl and The Flash is the upcoming episode of Gonna Gleek. Chris, do you have any more announcements, any more news about the upcoming Gonna Gleek episode?
So I'll have to defer to Steven for the official Gonna Gleek episode that'll probably air on the Gonna Geek Network, but I do have some information for you about the musical crossover. We found out it will be titled Duet. Takes place on the March 21st edition of The Flash, with a lead-in on the March 20th episode of Supergirl, similar to how the Falls 4 show crossover began. So let me pause a second in this news story. You can probably skip Supergirl, because they'll probably replay it in the beginning of Flash, if it's just like what happened in the fall.
Yep.
So we did find out that this is going to be directed by Arrowverse veteran Dermot Downs, who has helmed multiple episodes of The Flash, Supergirl, Arrow, and Legends of Tomorrow. The episode will also include musical numbers from The Flash stars Grant Gustin, Jesse L. Martin, and Carlos Valdez, Supergirl star Melissa Benoist and Jeremy Jordan, and Legends of Tomorrow co-star Victor Garber, in addition to Arrow regular John Barrowman. So basically, if you've got singing talent in your personal life, they're bringing you into the show to come and sing on the show, which could be pretty cool. Victor Garber's got some pipes on. We've seen that before. John Barrowman does as well. So lots of musical talent coming in to support the Flash Supergirl crossover.
What they don't say, and this is a secret, this is an exclusive to the Starling Tribune, is that they have requested Stargate Pioneer also be on the episode. And I definitely, well, you will see me. I've already gone and filmed the episode, and so you will be seeing me on there as well, because of course I have singing talent.
He sings a song called Don't Cry For Me, Starling City.
Oh,
that's what it's called.
Yeah, we'll have to get that in the post show. SP,
we need a little taste for our live viewers in the post show. I think we should share with
Canada, our home and native land. Okay, that's enough. Let's talk about who else will be joining me on that crossover episode, Neil.
Well, as Chris said, because we are heading to Gunna Gleek, it's only fitting that more Glee alumni joins the crossover. So for the duet crossover episode between Supergirl and The Flash, TV Line reports that Darren Criss, who rose to fame as Blaine Anderson on Glee, will appear as the Music Meister in the two-episode crossover event. Air quotes for all of our audio listeners out there, which is kind of cool. I'm super stoked for the crossover episode for the musical. I think it's going to be a ton of fun, and honestly, I can't wait. And they even teased it in this week's Flash with one of the bylines from the future with Music Meister snagging a six-figure book deal. You'll notice that is one of the bylines that they call out from the future.
That's right. I did enjoy them looking at all those news stories in detail, because I know a lot of people have been freeze framing and trying to roll through that and everything, trying to get glimpses of what's going on in the future. And it was good that they just took a moment to actually talk about them and write those down. I think there were more headlines than that that they didn't talk about, but those, of course, are the only ones that really make any difference, because they got to change those dominoes. Just got to do that. If you haven't seen it yet, there's a whole thing about dominoes. You got to bury in the dominoes. It's cool. You got to go see over on The Flash. Well, talking about Supergirl again, there is a very special Valentine's Day episode coming at you from the CW network.
Well, and we all know that a lot of these shows tend to take a holiday season and work it into the show somehow. We've talked about all the Christmas and Thanksgiving parties on Arrow and The Flash. They always bring family together. So this year for Valentine's Day, there is going to be a focus on one of my favorite current relationships in the DC TV universe, and that is Maggie and Alex. So here's what we know: that Alex is super excited for her first Valentine's Day with a girlfriend, but Maggie is not keen on the Hallmark holiday, which leads to their first real fight. But Maggie will make it up to Alex by recreating a special night. Note the corsage on her arm. Further details on the hour, like who else might be spending the holiday together, are being kept under wraps, but the Valentine's Day episode will air on February 13.
I'm with Maggie. I don't care about made-up holidays.
Now, Valentine's Day is an actual holiday. What is a made-up Hallmark holiday, though, is Sweetest Day. That is completely made up by the Hallmark movie, Hallmark channel, Hallmark industry. Sweetest Day is not a real holiday. Valentine's Day, at least, is based in the religious holiday of St. Valentine. So there's some history to that. Sweetest Day, not so much, people. Go back and try again. And as far as corsages, have you guys ever been to an adult prom?
No.
Nope, Neil?
No.
Well, you've been to a convention, and have you cosplayed at all?
Yes.
Kinda, yes.
Okay, that's your geek prom for you. There's an adult prom, but there's the geek prom. And the geek prom is any convention that you go and have fun at. So take my advice. Go to a con near you this year. Either enjoy the cosplay that other people are doing or dress up like somebody yourself and just call it your geek prom and move on with life. All right. So that's it for the news this week. We do have some great feedback. And as you know, Michelle does live tweet all of the DC shows from the Starling Tribune Twitter handle. And she's gotten some great responses back and forth. We're going to start off with one from Legends of Tomorrow. And Chris, I know you haven't seen Legends of Tomorrow, but it is okay if we talk about...
I've seen everything but Flash, so go ahead and spoil, though. It doesn't matter.
So, consultant Black Adam, which, by the way, is getting his own movie now. We talked about that last week. Said that Vixen is going to try starting with Star Wars Episode 1, isn't she? Worse. She started with Howard the Duck. Yes, that would be very bad. Very bad. And if you haven't seen Legends of Tomorrow, that is why I'm wearing my Star Wars geeky jersey, one of the various ones that I have owned. And yes, George Lucas does make an appearance in this week's Legends of Tomorrow. So if you want to try to make him not redo the first three movies that he made or make the prequels, I mean, go ahead. You can try. Yeah. Try to talk to your TV in Legends Tomorrow and see how that turns out. Consultant Black Adam continued and he tweeted, and Rip and Gideon are C-3PO and R2-D2, aren't they? Neil, what do you think?
I'll kind of go there. I actually thought that they were going to have a Gideon get us out of here you know, Gideon stopped the trash compactor line. But so I'm not sure. They could have been a bit more obvious with the callouts if they were going there.
They could have. Chris?
I liked it. I loved all the Easter eggs.
I know. This week's Legends of Tomorrow was amazing. If you haven't seen it, and if you've never watched Legends of Tomorrow, and if you're a Star Wars fan, you gotta go see this episode. It's awesome. All right, so Michelle tweeted from our account. She said, I'm positive I'm missing half the Easter egg. This is a must rewatch. Oh, she just read my mind. Go figure. And she was responded by Robbie Shipman, who said, the subtlety is strong with this one. So yes, a couple of Star Wars references being punted back and forth. Thank you very much, Robbie Shipman. And then friend of the cast, who has been a guest host on here before, Ferris, he's known on Twitter, @DXFerris. He said, please involve Arrow. Not that it would be a good fit, but they need it. And what is he talking about? He's talking about the musical crossover. You know, has anybody ever heard Stephen Amell sing?
I haven't.
No.
I don't think I want to. So, Ferris, who are you talking about? Because there's a lot of characters on the show. So who do you want to have? Ooh, that's a good question to ask our audience. Who would you want to have from Arrow in the musical crossover? Neil, do you have any idea? No guesses?
No guesses. Maybe Curtis?
Oh, he might be good.
I don't want Wild Dog singing. No, no, I don't.
I want it to be Laurel. Hashtag no Arrow, no Laurel.
You know who I want?
What?
I want Nyssa, Katrina Law. She'd be amazing.
Yep.
Mic drop. Boom.
Don't drop your mic. It's expensive.
It is, but I don't have to drop it because it's on a boom arm. I think I'm good. I could get one of my crappy mics and drop it, but I'm not going to do that. We're going to continue on. Chris, we are part of this great network that Steven has made for us. And there's a lot of other geeky shows on the network, aren't there?
That's right. There are a lot of other geeky shows on the network. And each week we try to remind you guys, there's like 20 different podcasts on the Gunna Geek Network. We really, really have a ton of awesome stuff we think you should go check out. And we always try to highlight one episode. And maybe it's slightly self-serving. We'll talk about one of my shows this week. It's All Things Good and Nerdy Podcast, episode 245, entitled The One with No Politics. Welcome back to your wacky weekend morning show where we take a break from the politically charged atmosphere. This week, there are not one, but two super dick mode moments as Chris goes off on Marvel's new digital comic plans and Naki expresses her displeasure over the casting in Logan. Anthony has the latest on The Rock's addition to the DC Cinematic Universe, and Willie has the background on just how Logan fits into the X-Men movie continuity. So you can go check that out over at GunnaGeekNetwork.com, and while you're there, feel free to check out one of the other awesome shows that make up the network, like, I don't know, the GunnaGeek.com show, or the Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. show, anything like that. There's all sorts of stuff. Go and check it out, GunnaGeekNetwork.com. But guys, that is probably going to wrap us up for this live episode. A big thank you to everyone that did tune in live on the YouTube or Spreaker side of things, or if you've downloaded and listened or watched at a later date, thank you for checking us out there. Please don't forget you can download the podcasts from YouTube, from our RSS feed, wherever. We're out there everywhere on the internet for you guys to watch.
Yeah, and hey, if you've joined us and you've enjoyed us, tell other listeners. They can join us live Thursday, 6 p.m. Pacific, 9 p.m. Eastern on Geeks.live. And I just want to say, being the head editor of the Starling Tribune, Chris, thank you very much for being our video editor and producer. Guys, you can watch the next live show on the Gunna Geek Network over on Geeks.live, which happens to be tomorrow night. It's Better Podcasting. It's a podcast about hobby podcasting. We'll be starting at 6:30 p.m. Eastern. It's myself and Steven. Don't forget, also, if you're listening to us on your favorite podcatcher, iTunes, give us a thumbs up on YouTube. But if you're on iTunes or your podcatcher of choice, give us a great review, 5-star review on iTunes, and like us wherever we are. We really, 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 really would appreciate it.
And you can always find all of our contact information on the Gunna Geek Network at GunnaGeekNetwork.com. You can search around. You can find out where to get in touch with us. You can also check out our forums and all the other shows, as the guys have said. If you want to share your thoughts, head on over to our Facebook page, send in a tweet, or you can call us and leave us a voicemail at 612-888-CAVE. That's 1-612-888-2283, and we'll make sure to play your voicemail on the show. Guys, it was fun catching up and diving back into the Arrowverse. Talia. That about wraps it up for another week, guys. Any last words as we sign off and open up the post show? At Stargate Pioneer.
Hashtag hit me.
At the Chris Farrell.
Hashtag I think it's Michael Dorn.
And I am at Neil Isn't Witty, signing off with hashtag Talia. Oracle, I think we're done here.
This was the Starling Tribune. You can leave us feedback at gunnageek.com or check out our archive at starlingtribune.com. Visit gunnageek.com for more podcasts. Music by Kevin MacLeod can be found at incompetech.com. This podcast is not produced or maintained by the CW, Warner Brothers Television, CTV, or DC Comics. All characters, stories, and situations are the property of Time Warner. No infringement is intended. We will see you for the next episode of CW's Arrow.